Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 23 in our teaching on the life of Daniel titled, The Consummation of All Things. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
Finish up our last chapter of Daniel today. Next week, Dr. Trevor Craig will start on the book of Genesis. And he's going to do 10 or 11 chapters, I think. But as we're finishing up on Daniel 12, I've got a good little bit of information I'll try to cover today. So, Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for today. Thank you for your word, your will, and your way. And we ask and pray that your Holy Spirit would invade our stubborn heads and hearts and that you'd shake us real good today, that we might just move us faster than our own thoughts and let us leave ourselves behind and find you. In Jesus' name, amen. Help us. Daniel 12. This is the last chapter of 12 chapters of Daniel. It's called the consummation of all things. This is where, in Daniel chapter 12, we can see that Daniel's idea, Daniel's cry, was, "When will you restore the kingdom to Israel?" That was his big thing. They'd been in Babylon for 70 years, and you know the story. So we're getting to the end of Daniel. It's still the same question. God, when will you restore? Now, chapters 1 through 6, we see our historical. Chapters 7 through 12 are visions about, and they almost duplicate the first six historical chapters. In other words, chapters 1 through 6 has historically been documented. The question is, if the first six have happened and been documented, do you think that the last will be historical someday? Of course it will. It stands to reason. We have history to prove the authenticity, the truth of this book. Now, with that in mind, let me tell you something. What's in the book of Daniel, what's in this Bible, is unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. To believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and He died on Calvary's tree, and if you believe in Him, you'll have eternal life. That is an unbelievable story. It's not a practical story. It's a true story, totally ridiculous, but yet I believe it. So the question is, why do I believe it? Now, you've got faith to believe that ridiculous story, but it takes faith to believe the other ridiculous stories in this book too. So don't think it just takes faith to believe in Jesus, then you don't need any more. This is a very ridiculous book to the human mind. It is saying some incredible, crazy, far out there stuff. But I believe it. Well, let me say this. I am believing it. But each time I get pressed against some more information, I'm like, and why in the world I think I need to start approaching it with a reasonable mind, thinking I'm going to get there reasonably. I have no idea why I constantly do that. When it took faith to believe the first message. And when I had the faith, then I saw that it was true. Because I need the faith and the power of the Holy Spirit to understand what I don't understand and to believe what I don't believe. So you can save yourself a lot of brain power if you'll just say, God, give me the faith to believe it. It's pretty crazy stuff, God, you're doing here, but I'm choosing to believe it, but I'm going to need your help. So if you'll give me the faith, I'm going to jump this great ravine, I'm going to jump it if you'll give me the power and the strength to believe it. So Lord Jesus, give us that faith today. Now, Daniel chapter 12. Quickly, Israel and the last days starts in chapter 11 and 40, verse 40 through 12:13. When you end up in chapter 11, you just move right on into 12. It's not really a break. Matter of fact, verses 40 through 13 are the same paragraph. So you just move right on through it. It says Israel's distress and deliverance is verses 40 through 45. Now you see, I got the highlighted there the word distress. Israel's distress and deliverance is in chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Now, this is speaking about the 70th week of Daniel. You remember, we've been through 69. You remember we had that teaching? Now we're at a little interim time waiting to go through the 70th week, which will be the Great Tribulation. So we can see that Israel is put into great distress. And once you start understanding Daniel and Revelation, listen, all this Bible is not about you. A lot of this Bible is about the nation Israel. And we have to understand that. We have to make a distinction between us, the church, and the nation Israel. Well, this part is talking about the nation Israel and the distress that they are in. Still spiritual truths to me or Israel, doesn't make any difference. It's the same truth. So we see that they're in distress, but they have deliverance in verses 1 through 4. The length of Israel's distress is in verses 5 through 7. And the outcome of Israel's distress is verses 8 through 13. Now, the spiritual idea here is come to Jesus and get into some type of distress. Come to God. What's He going to take you through? Some stress test. Why? To show you the condition of your heart. Okay, that's what's going on here, if anybody needs to know. Daniel 11, verses 40 through 4. There's no real break between the last verse of chapter 11 and the first verse of chapter 12. Daniel 11, 40 is one paragraph. Daniel 1 through 4 describes the final events of human history paving the way for the second coming of Christ. Are you with me? Everybody's there. It's paving the way for the second coming of Christ. The defeat of His enemies and the establishment of His kingdom. They sum up for Daniel the destiny of Israel as a nation, the saints, and the wicked. Now, this is huge. This is getting you ready for Revelation chapter 20, 21, 22. You remember I told you could take the first two chapters of your Bible, last two chapters of your Bible, and put them together and you'd have the idea of what God's got going on. Take first three verses and the last or chapters and the last three chapters and you'll see the fall of man, what God did about it. Isn't it? So it gives you the whole story. What's happening here in the book of Daniel is explaining to us what is happening from Daniel's point of view through visions right before Revelation chapter 20. Now, so the defeat of his enemies and the establishment of his kingdom, they sum up Daniel's the destiny of Israel as a nation, the saints, and the wicked. We're all hung right in there. Now, verse 1, and at that time shall Michael stand up. Do you remember Michael? Three archangels. Who are they? Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. Stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Now, here he's called what? A great prince. And who's he standing for? The children of thy people, which is Israel. So here we know, and remember, Michael was fighting 21 days before he went to Daniel. You remember all that. Now, so here we see Michael again. Here he comes. He's still standing for these people of Israel. And there shall be a what? Time of trouble. It's called Jacob's trouble also. Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. This is the big one. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in. So we're going to start talking about some books here. There's going to be a crowd that's going to be saved or delivered, but you got to get your name written in this particular book. He starts saying here. Michael is one who is going to cast Satan out of heaven in Revelation 12, 7 through 9. He is the one who protects the nation Israel and stands on her behalf. His name means who is like unto God. Pretty good name. Now, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was there was a nation. And at that time thy people shall be delivered. Now, here's the divisions. This verse is speaking about the tribulation period. The first division takes up the first 3.5 years of the 70th week of Daniel and is termed the lesser tribulation. The last division takes in the last 3.5 years of the week and is termed the great tribulation because it will be more severe in persecution upon Israel than the first 3.5 years. Now watch this one. The Antichrist who will protect Israel the first 3.5 years, isn't that something? Will break his covenant with her in the middle of the week and become her enemy. So that's the reason people are saying, just watch Israel when she signs a peace agreement. Everybody hear that? Everybody's in that Christian language. They haven't signed this. See, they're going to think the Antichrist is their deliverer. They're going to go into a covenant and they're going to find out that he's not. Now, how's he going to do it? Through signs and wonders. Now, here we go. Verse 1, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, one that shall be found written in the book. Have you heard of the place called Petra before? Petra is a place that some are suspecting. I don't have time to develop it. I had it last week, but I didn't have time to do it, on how that some of these that are saved will be set aside from a lot of the distress in this place called Petra. Now, thy people shall be delivered. We have assurance of Israel's deliverance. If you ever wondered about it, you don't have to wonder anymore. We have assurance, according to this, that they will be delivered. Now, one that shall be found written in the book, in the distress of great tribulation, God will show you His greatest deliverance if you are written in the book. That's what I'm going to say, come to Jesus and get in distress. We all, I don't care who you are, we are all allotted so much distress in life. And everybody's tends to be a little different. I can't have yours, you can't have mine. We all get it. But the part you got to remember is God will show you His greatest deliverance if you are written in the book. So when you're in distress, just like Israel, the only thing I can tell you is if your name's written in that book of life, God will deliver you. End of discussion. And whatever you do, don't deliver yourself. Come on, somebody. God will deliver you. Now, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth, verse 2, shall awaken some to everlasting life. Sleeping in the dust refers to a physical body. The soul goes to be with Christ. This is the first occurrence of everlasting life in the Old Testament. Isn't that amazing? All of a sudden, it's introduced here, the idea of everlasting life. We have the assurance of a bodily resurrection, which is introduced here in Daniel. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awaken, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. 2 Corinthians says this, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that which we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. What he's saying here, and what was introduced in Daniel, it's just like you have on a pair of coveralls, and it's cold outside. I get a pair of warm coveralls, and I've got them on. Well, when we die, you just unzip your coveralls and you walk out of them. You're not going to go to sleep. You're just going to walk out of them. You don't need these coveralls where you are. Does anybody get a witness on that one? You just unzip it and we're going to move on out. It's just to be absent. The body is to be present with the Lord. That's just what that one means. So it's introduced there in Daniel. Our new bodies are just like the Lord. Somebody say glory. You don't know what it's like, it's going to be like the Lord's. He ate fish, last part of Luke. He walked through walls. I've often wondered, did this fish stay on the other side, or did he walk through the... I mean, what happened to the fish when he kept... whatever. So, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able. Amen. You're going to get a brand new set of coveralls. It's going to be like the Lord's. Amen? Verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as a brightness of the firmament. Now, I can't develop all of this, but, and they that be wise shall shine as a brightness of the firmament. Now, what that means in this time, and I believe the time we're in right now, it is very important that you're very wise. If you are, you're going to shine. That's a spiritual thing. It's a supernatural glory. And I do not have time to develop it, but that is what's happening. So Satan himself doesn't want you to shine in the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So in this time that we're living, you got to understand your wisdom the enemy wants to destroy. Why? So you don't shine like the stars. And that is a huge thing about the glory of God. It's big. Literally, it refers to those who make others wise and those who win souls and turn many to righteousness. It's in 2 Timothy. Thus, those that preach Christ crucified and convert many to the Christian faith shall be as the stars, bright luminaries in the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, I hope you're catching what I'm saying. You're not getting it, but you're getting it. All right? Daniel, verse 4. But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Isn't that amazing? They said, okay, in this vision, you're going to shut it up, even the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. That's where this verse is. It says, Daniel, you're going to shut up the words and you're going to seal the book. Now, Daniel didn't have the understanding of it. A lot of the stuff that Daniel wrote that has now happened hadn't happened yet. But now a lot of it has happened. But it says that even time of the end, many shall run to and fro. Not until history continued to unfold would many be able to understand these prophetic revelations. Now, you've got to understand that knowledge will increase. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It says many will run to and fro. World travel will increase. Running to and fro. I mean, are we running to and fro today or what? I mean, this is a to or fro generation, right? God indicated that an increase in understanding of what Daniel had written would come. So a lot of the increase of the knowledge is that the generation which we're in will have more knowledge and understanding than the previous generations did about the book of Daniel. Okay? Now, the increase of the worldly knowledge is the ability to travel from one place to another would be unlike anything ever seen before in history. It is interesting to note that from the time Daniel wrote this book until almost the 20th century, watch it, it was just man traveling by horse and buggy. Isn't that amazing? 20th century. The speed that man could travel remained fairly constant, limited to the speed of foot, horse, and a boat. Same thing's happening with knowledge. Today, knowledge, you can click a computer, click your iPhone on Google, and you know, we're sitting around eating lunch now. Well, I wonder what, you know, the capital of Chile or what? Just punch her in. Here it comes. Sitting there eating a Big Mac. Knowledge is everywhere. I mean, so it hadn't been this way. Does anybody in here other than me remember when you didn't even have a calculator? I remember when calculators came on, I'm like, wow. That machine, you hit your numbers in the right and you pulled it, right? You remember all that? Didn't have cell phones. I remember when they came out with a push-button phone, not a rotary. I was like, that thing will never work. Right? So I have seen a lot happen. Just in my life. Now, the disciples asked the same question. He told him to shut up the words, seal the book until the time of the end. When you see him running to and fro and knowledge increasing, you're looking at the time of the end. The disciples asked the second question, what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? It's in Matthew 24:3. The angel was telling Daniel to seal the book until the end, and that generation would get an increased knowledge to understand it. So you've got to understand, we should know more about the book of Daniel today than they did 200-300 years ago even. The revelation of the knowledge should grow. Verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, and the one on the side of the bank of the river, and the other on the other side of the bank of the river. There again, he has his vision. Two angels probably on each side of the river. Here's another divine visitation to Daniel. It's probably two angels here. And one said to the man clothed in linen, you got a vision, river, angel here, angel there. Then one said to the man in linen, which is probably the Lord Jesus, which is upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? How long will it be in this vision? The angels asked Jesus over the river, how long will it be? Goes on to verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven. Here's Jesus, over the river. Throws up one hand, throws up the other hand. Now that's big. Let me show it to you in the prophetic. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time. See that? Time, times, and half a time. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. So here we got three times, times, half time. You got three and a half, three and a half. this power here, there is talking about the nation Israel, the power of the people of Israel. The power he's speaking about here is human power. He shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people. This is not of the evil people. This is of the holy people. Remember, tribulation, Israel in tribulation, powerful. Here we see that he's going to scatter this power. God is bringing them to the end of human strength. Self-will is broken through tribulation. That's what happens to Israel. It's what happens to you, if you'll admit it. Your self-will is always broken through tribulation. Now, there's your time, times, and half a times. Now, tribulations bring brokenness. Now, to a prophetic people, this is important. One way you know you're not broken is you think you are. Did you get it? A person who's broken is always seeking brokenness, which is humility. Right? We're always seeking it. It's like we are never there because you're always seeking the humility. Brokenness comes in the worst of times. Anybody notice that? Say, this is the worst time in my life. God, I need you to deliver me. God says, I'm using the worst of times to break you. Now, I know this is not a popular word. I'm just doing Daniel. Okay? It's what happened with Israel. It's what happens with us. God knows that brokenness will hurt us, but it is only through brokenness that we are brought to our spiritual breakthrough. You've got to understand the reason God allows a tribulation for Israel, because they needed to become broken so God could take them spiritually where he was trying to take them. Whether you know it or not, we have to be broken because we think we know how to get there without God. God, just watch. If I need your help, I'll let you know, and I need you to jack me up here a little bit because I'm needing a little help now, God. God says, no, I'm wanting you to go in another direction. There's a high spiritual gift or plane I'm wanting you to be on. There's not but one spiritual door to get there through, and it's tribulation, and you're broken, and you give it up to God. And you just let it go, and then you have just walked through this huge spiritual door. All of a sudden, you see it. We have to hit that breaking point to break down some walls that God sees are stopping us from our eternal purpose. We can't see it. God can see it. Are you with me? It's what happened with the nation of Israel. It's what happens in this time. It's the Spirit that's with us. And I heard the man clothed in white linen, which was upon the water of the river, and he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him who lives forever. Now, I want you to see this in Ezekiel. Right hand, left hand. And saying to them, thus the Lord God, in the day when I came and chose Israel, and I lifted up mine hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt. When I lift up mine hand, you see that? Says it's this the Lord unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God. So here we see that the Lord, it's his normal behavior to go along and raise his hand over the nation Israel, or it's a blessing. He calls it forth when the Lord raises his hand. In the day that I lift up mine hand unto them to bring forth the land. So anytime the Lord's going to bring something forth, you'll see it in Scripture. I just use this one as an example. That you'll see that he'll raise his hand. What are we doing when we raise our hand? You see, you're trying to call it forth. We say we're praising God, but we're calling forth. Now, let me tell you something. Stuff happens when you raise your hand. If it didn't, why was it so hard to do it the first time you tried it? Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right. Go back to here. He held up his right hand and his left hand. Now, here he didn't raise one hand, he had a double hander. All the time in Scripture you'll say he raised one, until you get to Daniel 12:7. Then all it says he lifted up his right hand and lifted up his left hand to heaven. Can you see that? That is a dramatic thing in Scripture. Verse 8, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O Lord, which is Gabriel, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? So he said to Gabriel, somewhere or another we've got to have an ending. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So here we see, that Daniel, he said, where is this going to lead us? And he says, you just got to close the book. You got to seal it until the time of the end. Now, I've already shown you how there are going to be a people who's going to have knowledge that Daniel didn't have of what's happening around us. Verse 10, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall do what? Understand. Now, you can see why the wise needed to stay wise when you get down to verse 10. Because if you'll stay wise when you're tempted not to be wise, you will get the understanding. The understanding comes after the tribulation, after the distress, because you remained wise. Now, in Revelation, it spoke here about they'll be purified, they'll made white, and they'll be tried. There's a group of people we see here in Revelation. After this, I beheld and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all the nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb clothed with white robes. Do you see that? Now go on down to Revelation 7, 13 and 14. And one of the elders answered and said unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from? And I said unto him, sir, thou know. And he said to me, these are they which came out of what? Out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now listen, this is actually literally going to happen. But it spiritually can happen. Is happening to us right now. Now, we are the church. We are a group of people that is spiritually experiencing what's literally going to happen. Your tribulation is your opportunity to have your robe turn white. Are you with me? Say, Alan, glory, hallelujah. I don't like it, but I know it's true. Now, I just want you to know that's what's happening. The cross is too great a thing for just one people. There it said in the previous verse in Revelation there, it says there's going to be many nations come together. We've got to understand, is Israel God's chosen people? The answer is yes, but the cross of Christ is bigger than one nation. He says all these nations are going to be coming, tongues and everybody. The cross is huge. It's to the world. Are you with me? That's where he's moving in this understanding. It's in Isaiah. Let me go down to verse 6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore and preserve Israel. Talking about Isaiah here. Look what he says. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou may be my salvation unto the what? The end of the earth. It could be translated the end of time. Now what he's saying here, when you go into this thing, that's the great revival we're looking for. It's this great Gentile mixed Jew outpouring that's coming. But you've got to understand, if you're not looking for it to come, you're going to miss it when it does. I can tell you to say, get on the bus down here at Taylorsville, it's going to come through at 2 o'clock. Well, you got to go down to the bus station and look for the bus at 2 o'clock. The Scriptures are telling us to look up. There's something next to come on the scene. The enemy, we are a secret or a mystery hid in Christ. You're like a star in the firmament. The enemy wants to destroy your brightness. How does God keep the stars shiny? Through tribulation. For some reason, that's the way we are. Go figure it. Or am I the only one? Now, verse 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, I covered that last week, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be a 1,290 days, 3.5 years plus 45 days plus 30 days. And I don't have time to go into 45 and plus 30. And the reason I'm not going into it, nobody knows what to do with it. It's all kind of speculations, but it's talking about 3.5 years. Blessed is he that waiteth and comes to the 1,305 and 30 days, talks about the group and the tribulation. They do not take the mark of the beast. They're probably martyred. But go through thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the what? End of days. Now, what I want to do is chapter 12 of Daniel is speaking about the tribulation period, how Israel's going to be purified, how they're going to go into a covenant with the Antichrist. Then the last 3.5 years, it's going to be huge distress on the nation of Israel. Now, I'm one of these people who believe that the church will be raptured out at that time. If you ever want me to teach on why I think that way, I'll be glad to. But, and there's people who believe different. I'm fine with that, because whether you believe it or not, you're still going. So, okay, that was kind of a joke, I guess. Somebody could have said glory. I mean, okay, amen. So, but anyway, so the book of Daniel, the 70th week, is what chapter 12 is about. Now, what happens after Daniel? Here we are in the tribulation period. You go through the 7 years tribulation period, all of this destruction, you got Armageddon, all this happens, and then at the end of it, Jesus comes back to rule and reign 1,000 years. I'm going to play for you Revelation chapter 20, 21, 22. We're going to pick up at the end of Daniel. And I'm going to take you right into Revelation. It takes about 12 minutes, 13 minutes. But we're leaving Daniel. Why did all this happen? It's so that Revelation 20, 21, and 22 will happen. Is everybody kind of with me? All right, if you can start that.
I saw an angel come down from heaven, carrying the key to the deep pit and a big chain. He chained the dragon for 1,000 years. It is that old snake who is also known as the devil and Satan. Then the angel threw the dragon into the pit. He locked and sealed it, so that 1,000 years would go by before the dragon could fool the nations again. But after that, it would have to be set free for a little while. I saw thrones, and sitting on those thrones were the ones who had been given the right to judge. I also saw the souls of the people who had their heads cut off, because they had told about Jesus and preached God's message. They were the same ones who had not worshipped the beast or the idol, and they had refused to let its mark be put on their hands or foreheads. They will come to life and rule with Christ for 1,000 years. These people are the first to be raised to life, and they are especially blessed and holy. The second death has no power over them. They will be priests for God and Christ, and will rule with them for 1,000 years. No other dead people were raised to life until 1,000 years later. At the end of 1,000 years, Satan will be set free. He will fool the countries of Gog and Magog, which are at the far ends of the earth, and their people will follow him into battle. They will have as many followers as there are grains of sand along the beach. They will march all the way across the earth. Will surround the camp of God's people and the city that his people love. Fire will come down from heaven and destroy the whole world. And the devil who fooled will be thrown into a lake of fire and burning sulfur. He will be there with the beast and the false prophet, and they will be in pain day and night forever and ever. I saw a great white throne with someone sitting on it. Earth and heaven tried to run away, but
but there was no place for them to go. I also saw all the dead people standing in front of that throne. Every one of them was there, no matter who they had once been. Several books were opened, and then the Book of Life was opened. The dead were judged by what those books said they had done. The sea gave up the dead people who were in it. Death and its kingdom also gave up their dead. Then everyone was judged by what they had done. Afterwards, death and its kingdom were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone whose name wasn't written in the Book of Life was thrown into the lake of fire. Down from God in heaven. It was like a bride dressed in her wedding gown and ready to meet her husband. I heard a loud voice shout from the throne, "God's home is now with his people. He will live with them, and they will be his own. Yes, God will make his home among his people. He will wipe all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, suffering, crying, or pain. These things of the past are gone forever." Then the one sitting on the throne said, "I am making everything new. Write down what I have said. My words are true and can be trusted. Everything is finished. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will freely give water from the life-giving fountain to everyone who is thirsty. All who win the victory will be given these blessings. I will be their God, and they will be my people. But I will tell you what will happen to cowards and to everyone who is unfaithful, or dirty-minded, or who murders, or is sexually immoral, or uses witchcraft, or worships idols, or tells lies. They will be thrown into that lake of fire and burning sulfur. This is the second death. I saw one of the seven angels who had the bowls filled with the seven last terrible troubles. The angel came to me and said, "Come on. I will show you the one who will be the bride and wife of the Lamb." Then, with the help of the Spirit, he took me to the top of a very high mountain. There he showed me the holy city of Jerusalem coming down from God in heaven. The glory of God made the city bright. It was dazzling and crystal clear like a precious jasper stone. The city had a high and thick wall with 12 gates, and each one of them was guarded by an angel. On each of the gates was written the name of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Three of these gates were on the east. Three were on the north. Three more were on the south. And the other three were on the west. The city was built on 12 foundation stones. And each of the stones was written the name of one of the Lamb's 12 apostles. The angel who spoke to me had a gold measuring stick to measure the city and its gates and its walls. The city was shaped like a cube because it was just as high as it was wide. When the angel measured the city, it was about 1,500 miles high and 1,500 miles wide. Then the angel measured the wall, and by our measurements, it was about 216 feet high. The wall was built of jasper. The city was made of pure gold, clear as crystal. Each of the 12 foundations was a precious stone. The first was jasper. The second was sapphire. The third was agate. The fourth was emerald. The fifth was onyx. The sixth was carnelian. The seventh was chrysolite. The eighth was beryl. The ninth was topaz. The tenth was chrysoprase. The 11th was jacinth, and the 12th was amethyst. Each of the 12 gates was a solid pearl. The streets of the city were made of pure gold, clear as crystal. I did not see a temple. Lord God, all-powerful, and the Lamb were its temple. The city did not need the sun or the moon. The glory of God was shining on it, and the Lamb was its light. Nations will walk by the light of that city, and kings will bring their riches in. Its gates are always open during the day, and night never comes. Glorious treasures of nations will be brought into the city. But nothing unworthy will be allowed to enter. No one who is dirty-minded or who tells lies will be there. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be in the city. Showed me a river that was crystal clear, and its waters gave life. The river came from the throne where God and the Lamb were seated, and it flowed down the middle of the city's main street. On each side of the river are trees that grow a different kind of fruit each month of the year. The fruit gives life. Leaves are used as medicine to heal the nations. God's curse will no longer be on the people of that city. He and the Lamb will be seated there on their thrones. With his people will worship God and will see him face to face. God's name will be written on the foreheads of the people. Never again will night appear. No one who lives there will ever use a lamp or the sun. The Lord God will be their light, and they will rule forever. Then I was told, these words are true and can be trusted. The Lord God controls the spirits of his prophets, and he is the one who sent his angel to show his servants what must happen right away. Remember, I am coming soon. God will bless everyone who pays attention to the message of this book. My name is John, and I am the one who heard and saw these things. Then after I had heard and seen all this, I knelt down and began to worship at the feet of the angel who had shown it to me. But the angel said, Don't do that. I am a servant just like you. I am the same as a follower or a prophet or anyone else who obeys what is written in this book. God is the one you should worship. Don't keep the prophecies in this book a secret. These things will happen soon. Evil people will keep on being evil, and everyone who is dirty-minded will still be dirty-minded. But good people will keep on doing right, and God's people will always be holy. Then I was told, I am coming soon. When I come, I will reward everyone for what they have done. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning. God will bless all who have washed their robes. They will each have the right to eat fruit from the tree that gives life, and they can enter the gates of the city. But outside the city will be dogs, witches, immoral people, murderers, idol worshippers, and everyone who loves to tell lies and do wrong. Jesus. And I am the one who sent my angel to tell all of you these things for the churches. I am David's great descendant, and I am also the bright morning star. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Everyone who hears this should say, if you are thirsty, come. If you want life-giving water, come and take it. It's free. Here is my warning for everyone who hears the prophecies in this book. If you add anything to them, God will make you suffer all the terrible troubles written in this book. If you take anything away from these prophecies, God will not let you have part in the life-giving tree and in the holy city described in this book. The one who has spoken these things says, I am coming soon. So, Lord Jesus, please come soon. I pray that the Lord Jesus will be kind to all of you.
The Scripture says there that He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. What is the conclusion of the book of Daniel? The book of Daniel, the conclusion is, it's preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. Amen. Karen, could you? It's a preparing the way of the coming of the Lord. And we're just going to do a small song, worship song here, because I want us to make a decision today at the end of Daniel. And if you would stand, and I'm going to ask us to make a decision. Decisions need to be made. And we are in a mystery. We are a people who are right before, I believe, the last week, the 70th week of Daniel. I think we're right in that interim time. We're right at the beginning of that very last week. The message that's being said now is And then Revelation, the conclusion of Daniel, is just tell everybody that the Lord Jesus says He's coming. He says, I'm coming soon. When you heard that read in Scripture, did anybody feel it kind of leap inside of you? It leaped out at you. And it says, just tell them I'm coming soon. I remember the Lord told me several months ago, Alan, you just announce my coming. And I've just felt that my job is just to announce His coming. And every time I read it in Scripture, it's just I have this inner witness. It just leaps in me when I hear somebody say that He's coming soon. He holds our future and He holds our past. We've trusted Him with our salvation, which is our future. I've asked Karen to do this, to learn this song for this teaching of Daniel. She introduced it to us last week. And it's future, past. And my challenge to you this morning, the challenge of the book of Daniel, is you have trusted Jesus, I think, with your future. Perhaps He's your Savior. That's good. But have you trusted Him with your past and your present? A testimony to you that you've trusted Him with your future is if you're trusting Him today, for your today. So let's just sing this song. And as we sing this song, my challenge to you is to re-up it, up it again. The Lord Jesus, I want to be your friend. And I'm going to trust you with my past, my today, and my future. In Jesus' name.
You hold the reins on the sun and the moon, like horses driven by kings. You cover the mountains, the valleys below, with the breath of your mighty wings. All treasures of wisdom and things to be known are hidden inside your hand. And in this fortunate turn of events, you ask me to be your friend. Ask me to be.
Come. soon. That's the message. Is he your first? Is he your last? Lord Jesus, it's our prayer. Lord God, let us be found faithful as we are all tried by great tribulations. It's my prayer, O God, that we can endure. That we can endure. That we can endure to the end. That the distress will bring brokenness. And the brokenness opens a door into the glory of our Lord. Dear God, let your glory be here today. If there's anybody here today that doesn't know you, it is our prayer, O God, that they'll not leave here and not know you as their Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, it's our prayer for those that are going through great tribulation, even now, that your peace and your joy would fill them. That, dear God, they can see that the tribulations, they are just very passive unto the great joy and peace that you give us. Dear God, I pray for those in great tribulation that they get great revelation. As they're tried by the fire, that the reward is the revelation of you speaking in their life. Lord God, no one's here today by accident. Everyone is here today at this appointed time to be in the presence of your Spirit. Everyone's here today by your calling, by the calling of your Spirit. And it's our prayer, O God, that our hearts would be with you as a friend. Our hearts would be with you, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You hold the reins on the sun.